Be turning with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 8. First Samuel chapter number 8, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. Appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry in that day because of your king which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. And God, I ask that you just help us now, Lord, as we look into your word. I ask you, Father, that you just give us clarity of thought, Lord God, that you just steal my mind tonight, Lord God. I pray that you touch the hearts of your people, Lord. And God, I ask the Holy Spirit would just move upon our hearts, Lord, and accomplish the work that you'd have done here tonight, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What we've got in this chapter, we've got a group of people, and they're coming to Samuel, and here's what they're saying. We don't want you ruling over us anymore. We want a king. We want you to make us a king. And they're telling him, they give a few reasons. They say, Sam, you're old. Samuel, he's getting up in age, and he was getting old. But you can read on a few chapters later, he's still hewing Agag in pieces. So, I mean, he's still able to get the job done. And then they're blaming his sons, saying, your sons are wicked. They're not doing like you do. We want a king. But what got my attention was verse 20. The latter part of it says, Nay, but we will have a king over us. And notice what it says, that we may also be like all the nations. We won't be like everybody else. Look at verse number 5. Latter part of the verse says, Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Here's really what they're saying. Samuel, every other country around us, everybody has a king. And we want to be just like them. We want a king. Now, here's what Israel's forgotten. Their strength rested in the fact that they were unlike all the other nations. I mean, they were different. They were separate people. But here's what they're saying. If I could say it this way, we're tired of being different. We're tired of being different than everybody around us. Hey, we want to fit in. We're looking around at what everybody else has, and we feel like we're different and we're tired of that. We want to fit in. Make us a king. Do you know what they're struggling with? They're struggling with the same thing that every believer struggled with for the past centuries. I want to fit in. Listen, we know. Each and everybody said, you can quote the verses. Come out from among them and be ye separate. We know we're to be a separated people. We know we're to be a peculiar people. We know we're not to be conformed to this world. But yet every day, what is that constant battle we're faced with? Wanting to fit in. Wanting to be like the world, be like everybody around us. We don't like to be different. Nobody does. We don't like to dress different. It amazes me that you can go into a crowd of people that's stripped off half naked and you can be covered up, but they make you feel like the oddball. Our flesh, let me just say, we don't like to be different. If we're not careful, we want to fit in. It's just our nature. Nobody likes to be made fun of. Nobody likes to be ridiculed. Why do you think we don't? How can I word this? Why don't we go to work on Monday morning bragging about how good a service we had? If we be honest, do we go to work and just say, man, God met with us yesterday? It's like God just sit down on the pew with me. I was shouting it out. Man, what a good spirit there was. We don't do it, do we? You know why? Because we don't want to be different. Because when we go to work and we start talking about the things of God, here's what they think. Man, you're a nut. Start telling everybody, hey, we're having revival. Hey, we're going to have revival for long. We want you to come be with us. We don't want to mention it. You know why? Because it identifies us. And we don't want to be different. We want to fit in. Here's what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. When they told Samuel, we want a king, God didn't tell Samuel, tell him I can't have one. That ain't what he told him. Notice what he tells them. Look at verse number 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Here's what God's saying. Hey, if that's what they want, I'm not going to make them not have, but you need to make sure they understand the cost that's going to come with it. If I could word it this way, if you want to fit in with the world, if you want to fit in with that group around you, have a king like they do, you know what it's going to cost, the price that's going to come for fitting in. See, there's a price for everything we do. You want to live for God, there's a price to pay for it. You want to just live your life for yourself, live a self-centered life, live for the Lord, there's a price that comes with it. Every decision you make, there's a price tag on it. What you have to decide is, what am I willing to pay? We're going to look tonight at what the children of Israel, the price tag that came with fitting in. And you know what we're going to find out? It's the same price for us today. Everything has a price. What's the price of fitting in? That's my question. Notice what it said. Look at verse number 11. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And he'll set them to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, to be bakers. Here's the first thing Samuel's telling. If you choose to be like everybody else and have a king, it might cost you children. Notice they're taken. It doesn't say that you'll have to give them. It says they're going to be taken. If you choose a king, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take your children. Now, did he take every child that was born? No. You know what? Possibly, there was probably some homes that they weren't affected by this choice. But you know what? There was a lot of homes that lives were changed forever. Because of the choice that mom and dad made. Hey, we want to fit in. You know what? Here's some children's lives. They're changed forever. Hey, they've been taken from the home now, and they've been put to work. Many times we've been on visitation. Knocked on the door and somebody's come to the door. And they, you know the routine they go through. Yeah, I was saved. Raised in church my whole life. And somehow I don't know what happened, but I don't go anymore. Let me tell you what happened. They got taken. The world took them. It's no when you choose that I want to fit in and I want to fit in with the world, here's the first thing. You need to understand the price, the cost of fitting in. It may cost you your children. And notice something else. When their children were taken, there was a burden that came upon them. Hey, they took those. Hey, they've got to run before the chariots now. Hey, they've got to work in the king's fields. Those little girls now, those daughters, they're going to be bakers. They're going to cook. Here's what I'm trying to say. The choice that was made that, hey, we want to fit in, it brought hardship to their children. It changed their lives forever. And I couldn't help think, wonder how many men and women living on the streets right now. Wonder how many men and women on the streets right now are living there because mom and dad said, you know what, I just want to fit in. And you know what, they got taken by the world. Nobody sets out to be a drunkard. I've never heard anybody say, you know what, I'm going to be the biggest drunkard is in Blount County. You know what happens? They're fitting in. They're trying to fit in. And you know what happens? Then the world just takes them. And you know what? There's no going back. The drug addict, nobody sets out to be a drug addict. You know where it all goes back to? Trying to fit in. That's the cost of fitting in. Samuel's telling them, hey, if you want a king, if you want to fit in, if you want to be like the nations around you, it may cost you your children. But notice something else. Look at verse number 16. And he will take your men servants, your maid servants, your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. Now, he's telling them right here, if you want to fit in and have a king like everybody else, it's going to cost you your servants. Now, those servants, the labor and the energy that those servants produced, you know what? It benefited the home, did it not? I mean, it all was to help work around the house, so to speak. But by the choice you've made, what's happening to all this labor and all this energy now? It's being taken from you. The king's going to take it. When we choose to fit in with the world, you know what we end up giving up? What we end up having taken from us? Our time and our energy. All the things that we could be using to help us have a better life. You know what we're doing? We're just giving it away. It's being taken from us. Do you know, in my look back at my life, I was just thinking about a lot of things while I was putting this together. I look back at my life at all the things I just allowed myself to get entangled in. All my energy that I put into something that don't amount to anything. It benefited me nothing. All it did was for me to say, hey, I fit in with everybody else. That energy did not do anything. It's just wasted. And I look at what it could have done, how it just took all that effort, all that time, all that labor, and put it into something that could spiritual, that could have amounted to something. And we're all guilty of it. How many times have we come in at night in the evening and we don't read, we don't pray, we don't help ourselves spiritually because we've had our time and our labors taken from us. We're too tired. We can't give it. Samuel's telling him, if you choose to fit in, it's going to affect your home. You may lose your children out of this deal. It's going to cost you your servants. All that labor that could have been helping you, now it's going somewhere else. Notice what else he tells them. Look at verse number 15. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Instead of that seed. Now, here's what you got to keep in mind. They're an agricultural society. That seed, you know what it spoke of? Prosperity and finance. I mean, everything's going good. But when you choose to fit in with the other nations around you and you pick a king, you need to understand something. All that's going to him. He's going to take it from you. When you choose to fit in with the world, what happens to our finances? What happens to our prosperity? Does the world not end up taking it? Man, I can look back at all the money that I wasted on stuff that the world said I needed. I didn't need a bit more than anything. I look back years ago when I was young, all the money that was wasted on designer clothes, hundreds of dollars on stuff I didn't even like just because everybody else had it. I just wanted to fit in. When you choose to fit in, it's going to get your finances. I mean, really, the world's all the time trying to tell us, here's what you need. You need this. You need the best of this. And if we want to fit in with the world, you know what we got to do? We got to play their game. And it brings hardship on our home. There's a lot of people, if they're in financial distress simply because they're trying to live a lifestyle that God didn't intend for them to have. Here's what Samuel's saying. If you want a king, if you want to fit in, the price of fitting in, it's going to affect your home. But secondly, look at verse number 14. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olivines, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Samuel's telling them that king's going to take your fields and he's giving them somebody else. That decision to fit in, you know what? Is going to affect their heritage or their inheritance. See, back then, that land, I mean, when somebody died, that land's just passed on to the next generation. And then the next generation, I mean, it always stayed in the family. But now, all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to take it from them. I started thinking about my kids. You know what? I'm not going to leave them. I feel pretty comfortable. I'm not going to be leaving them any great possessions or any great wealth. But you know what I can leave them? A goodly heritage. You know what? They may not have much, but they can be raised in a home where they saw mom and daddy get on their knees and pray every night. They can be raised in a home where they saw that the Word of God was honored. Amen. And that mom and dad leaned on it and trusted it. No matter what circumstances were, they were taught you just go with the Word of God. I can raise them in a home and teach them that no matter what's going on in life, that they can find peace and joy in Jesus. I can leave something. There's a heritage that I can leave with them. But you choose to fit in with the world, and you know what happens to that heritage? It gets taken from them. Listen, if I choose to fit in with the world that mocks the Word of God and belittles my Savior and wants nothing to do with the spiritual things, all that energy and all that effort that I put into trying to leave them something, it's going to be taken from them. Samuel's telling them, if you want to fit in, it's up to you. But you need to understand something. The choice you make, it's going to affect your home. It's going to affect your heritage. And then look at verse 17. I'll be finished. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants, and you shall cry in that day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. It's going to affect your homes. It's going to affect your heritage. It's going to affect your heart. You know what it's going to bring? It's going to bring heartache. Notice he tells in the latter part of verse 17, and you shall be his servants. You want to fit in. Here's what the life holds for you. You're going to be a servant. And when that happens, here's what's going to happen. Verse 18. You're going to cry because of the choice that you made. I look back at my life, the choice that I made as a young man just trying to find my, just trying to fit in. And you know what it was, Brother Mills? A life of heartache. I can look back at my life and just see all the heartache and all the pain just by the choices I made. Samuel's telling him, if you choose this route, the choice is yours, whatever, it's the choice is yours. But if you do, you need to understand the price of fitting in. It'll cost you your home, it'll cost you your heritage, and it's going to bring heartache. But then notice what they say in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us that we may be like all the nations. Samuel, we hear what you're saying, but we just want to fit in. You know what they were doing in Rehoboam's day when he was king? Before they served him, you know what they're telling him? Make the yoke lighter. Make the yoke lighter. They were miserable. The heartache that came from their choice. God's not going to make you live. Let me put it, God won't make you follow Him. Let me word it that way. You have a choice. I mean, you can choose. You want to fit in with the world? Go right ahead. He'll let you. You're right, Brother Bud. But here's what you need to understand. There's a cost that comes with it. There's a price that comes for fitting in. You choose that, you know, hey, I'm tired of, I don't want to live separate. I want to fit in with the world. Here's what you need to understand. It's going to cost you a home. There's a real good chance you'll lose your children. They'll be taken from you. There's a real good chance you're going to bring, your choice you make will bring hardship to their life. You need to understand that you make that choice to fit in with the world's going to steal your time and your energy. They're going to steal your finances. The fact of it is, you make this choice. If you choose this, it's going to destroy your home. You make this choice, it's going to destroy your heritage. Everything you want to instill in your children, leave behind you. What? They're going to take it from them. And if you make this choice to fit in, it's going to result in heartache. This group of people right here, they wasn't the ones crying out. 3 kings later, you know what they're doing? Make the yoke lighter. We're grievous. We make decisions now, and here's what we think. You know what? I can pay the price. It's not that bad. You know, I want to fit in. I'm tired of being dear. I want to fit in, and I think I can pay the price for it. Just give it time. And you know what? You'll become a servant to the one that you're... The bottom line, you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve a world. You'll become a servant to one or the other. And the result of serving the world is heartache. But I can tell you this. The result of serving Jesus is peace and joy and happiness. And it don't matter how bad circumstances get. It don't matter how bad things are. If I can just keep my eyes upon Him, you know what, brother? That's just like you said, everything's fine. That's my thought tonight. If you just stand to your feet and bow your head. Just King, if you just want to play, brother, I don't know if we need a song. Here's all I want to say tonight. If you need to pray with y'all, so every decision you make has a price to pay. God wants us to live holy, godly, separated lives, but He's not going to make you. And if you choose to go a different route, He'll let you go, but you need to understand there's a cost to fitting in. There's a price that comes with fitting in for the world. If you need to pray, you come on ahead.